Blog Talk Radio.
Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and I just want to remind everyone that the freedoms you surrender today are the freedoms your children and grandchildren will never know existed, and that's why we are the Democracy Defenders. I hope that everyone has had a great day today, and we have a good show lined up. And go ahead, David.
Yes, so the world is watching, and if he, Trump, gets away with all anything that he has done so far, our allies won't trust us ever again, and nobody will. So, Jack Smith got Trump again on charges stemming from January 6, 2021 insurrection and destroying evidence. He isn't a self-made man, but inherited millions from his father in real estate. He has allegedly paid no taxes for years and has been in shady dealings with an array of unsavory characters through decades. The chickens are finally coming home to roost with Donald Trump. His misdeeds have caught up with him. Georgia prosecutor Fannie Willis is up next as Georgia braces for potential backlash for prosecuting Trump. Will he or won't he ever go to the federal prison for his high crimes and misdemeanors? Do wealthy people have special privilege over regular folks when it comes to breaking the law? Join us to discuss tonight the downfall of Donald Trump and the GOP. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises. This is distracting to us as hosts and to the listeners. Visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. We have merchandise up there and articles and more articles coming soon. Tonight's opening music was Only in America by Brooks and Dunn. This is Kitchen Politics 123 with David Franklin and Laura Picker. We're an anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Let's get cooking. Why don't we start off tonight by going through the criminal cases that that we are tracking, just to keep everything sort of updated and fresh in people's minds. Because there is so much going on a daily basis. So it's good to know that, you know, we can kind of list it, talk about it, and then we'll move on. So the first case that I want to kind of talk about, which hasn't happened yet, they do have all the barricades in Georgia around the courthouse. Everything is all set up to go. So, in my opinion, I would say that things are going to progress quickly. I'm hoping tomorrow or Tuesday that they come up with something, that they charge him, indict him, however. So let's just talk a little bit about the Georgia, the interference investigation. So in December of 2020 and January 2021, we know that Trump sought to overturn the result of the presidential election in the state of Georgia. Two recounts confirm that President Joe Biden narrowly prevailed in the race for the state's 16 electoral votes, but Trump and his allies spread lies about voter fraud, urged Georgia officials to reverse Biden's win, and plotted to send fake electors to Washington. And on January 2nd, 2021, Trump called Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and urged him to find 11,780 votes for Trump. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Mae Willis is leading the investigation into possible election meddling. So let's just talk about that for a minute. I mean, they have him on tape. Not on tape, I'm sorry. They have him talking to Raffensperger, and he asked for the 11,980 votes, just to find them. And what do you think about all of that, David?
Well, yes, they do have him on tape for almost 2 hours, or probably a little bit more. He was on the phone with Secretary of State Raffensperger in Georgia, and, you know, he was, like, trying to, like really wrestling him into like finding those 11,000 plus votes for him, and that is election interference. And you know that's wrong. Imagine if Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton did that. You know, they keep screwing for Hillary to lock her up, and now it's the double standards and the hypocrisy of the Republicans while those start screaming lock him up. You know, what he did was election interference. And Giuliani, his then lawyer, lied on that mother-daughter duo that worked in elections in Georgia and put their life in grave danger. And only in deposition with Fannie Willis that, you know, he admitted that he lied. And how dare did Giuliani put people's lives in danger? Now, when you see the courtroom in Georgia, it's barricaded and all, because they're expecting a big turmoil because the Trump supporters promised to come out to help their man, Donald Trump. And we can all, you know, remember what happened in January 21st, 2021, when they didn't get in their own way and a storm of Capitol building. Hopefully, none of that will happen in Georgia. But just as a precaution, you know, they did that and everything, put barricades in. You know, so... no American president or former president was ever indicted to Donald Trump. And that changed in March 2023 when a former president was charged with 34 felon accounts in connection with hush money payments to a porn star. Less than 3 months later, he was indicted again, this time on 37 counts of felony for mishandling classified documents and impeding investigators and two other ongoing criminal probes, both related to the 2020 election interference. This may prompt further indictment of Trump and his allies, which is dead. And Jack Smith have accused Trump of taking highly sensitive national security documents when he left the White House in January 2021. So it's all coming together. All T's are being crossed. All I's are being dotted. And when this is all said and done and everything is over, whatever punishment Donald Trump gets, he deserves. I say 500 years or more. You know, so we can only hope for the best. What do you think was a better outcome?
Well, I think Georgia is a pretty obvious case. I mean, we have heard so much about it. And I'm just going to go over the possible charges for a moment. The activity of Trump and his allies implicate a variety of Georgia laws, both for election crimes and non-election crimes. Here are some of the most likely charges: solicitation to commit election fraud, conspiracy to commit election fraud, intentional interference with the permanence of election duties, interference with primaries and elections, false statements, perjury, influencing witnesses, racketeer, influence, and corruption and corrupt organizations. I mean, heavy in Georgia. So, you know, that should, you know, work out well. I think this the case is pretty strong because they have the recorded call, you know, to Raffensperger, and that was recorded. And then we have the eight Republican activists, you know, that falsely claimed the state's presidential electors for Trump to take immunity deals and have agreed to cooperate with Willis. So that case, we're really worried about that so much. I'm just waiting for it to happen as far as that, you know, as far as that case goes, you know. You talked a little bit about the January 6th insurrection investigation that is going on as well. The classified documents case that's going on. The hush money case. And then let's not forget E.J. Carroll. That is going to be happening as well. So he's got to be a busy man. I mean, really busy defending himself. So let's just hope that things go well in terms of the timing of everything, because that worries me. The timing of the court dates worry me. His defense, I'm not too worried about his defense. I think Jack Smith has things pretty sealed up. I'm pretty confident of that. But the main thing that I'm worried about are the court dates. We don't want them to go into or pass the election in case, you know, he gets nominated to run for president. That would be horrendous. You know,
yeah,
not a good thing.
And the biggest
thing
to me is the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act, what she broke, makes a crime to retain records containing sensitive national security information. The first 32 counts against Trump arise from 32 specific documents that he allegedly hoarded at his Mar-a-Lago and refused to give back, even though he was no longer entitled to possession of them after his presidency. Of the 32 documents, 31 were marked classified, and many concerned foreign military capabilities, military activities, or nuclear weapons, according to the indictment. The remaining eight felony accounts arise from Trump's alleged efforts to stymie the investigation, including directing Natal, that's his accomplice, to move boxes in the hope that neither Trump's own lawyer nor the FBI would discover some of the classified documents. So espionage is an automatic 20 years. He's on a sixth round account of obstruction related crimes under 18 U.S.C. Section 1512 and Section 19, to file the counts of false statements under the Espionage Act. So good luck in getting out of both of them because, you know, like you say, Jack Smith has a signed seal delivered. He crosses all T's and dots on all I's. So when that comes out, trial happens, you know, that has to be a sure conviction. You know, that has to be.
I'm hoping so, yes. I'm hoping so as well.
No, the evidence, no, it's not no hoping. The evidence is there, you know, and, you know, 20 years
there,
and each time.
Yes, 20 years.
There's no hoping.
I think I read today he can get like 140 years or something. No, with 400 and some years. So I don't care. You know, he can rot in prison for all, you know.
Yes.
How about the...
We'll have the Commonwealth of Virginia holding. Remember, when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from, and please, no background noise. It's really distracting to everybody. Hello, Virginia. What's in kitchen politics? What's cooking?
I'm doing okay. You don't hear any background noise, do you?
No.
No, no background noise. I don't hear any.
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I might be going to L.A.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Doing? You mean to live?
No, just to visit because someone's moving there. One of the things I noticed is one of the things, in my opinion, is as far as can I say something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
As far as firearms go, one of the things we should do, I want to do a movie where, as people who are against gun control but people who support gun control, we work together and come up with a some type of compromise to where people that are really content with their rights of gun control do not try to force their will upon business owners and try to be wishy-washy. And it'd be an educational movie because I went to see an educational movie this Saturday. It was called The Sound of Freedom. I don't know if anybody's seen that yet.
No, not yet.
No, I have not, no.
It's going to be something like that because I was watching one of the things I was watching is Rescue 911, and that's educational too. Matter of fact, one of the things that surprised me, there was a shootout with a suspect. He either was mentally ill or he was just an evil person. What happened was he was shooting a rifle, and then the officer fell, and the bullet hit the light. And when the bullet hit the light, there was glass and sparks, and he almost fell. I don't know if it scared him or what it was. He wasn't too far from his house where the light exploded. Because two sparks came out the light, and then the glass broke near him.
Okay.
Wow. That's amazing.
Huh? Yeah, do you think that probably scared him?
Very possible. It could
because it only happened when the bullet hit the light and the sparks and stuff like that. Because when he was shooting, he was moving away. When the light blasted it, he was moving away from the light and he almost fell a few times.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that had to do with the light and stuff.
Yeah, it could have. You never know. So what do you think about Georgia? What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't know. What's the thing with Georgia?
For Georgia, for the election, you know, fraud, when he spoke to Ratzenberger and asked for all those votes, asked him to find the vote.
That's not good.
Yeah, basically Trump was trying to get 11,000 plus votes to win Georgia, hence win the election. He tried in other places as well. So find a Willis, the prosecutor in Georgia. Yeah, she's going after him. What do you think about Kiss? Will he get a lot of years in prison? Will he get indicted in that case? We've got Giuliani and others will be indicted. You know, what's your thoughts on it?
I believe he'll be indicted. You know,
oh, yeah.
I just hope I hope they don't decide, because he's a president, he doesn't get the special treat. He gets special treatment. I hope they don't give him special treatment.
Well, he has been given special treatment, you know.
Yes, he has.
Because if anybody else did what he did, they'd be awaiting trial in prison. You know,
yeah.
But he's allowed to go around the country with his Nuremberg-type rallies,
mm-hmm.
you know, his Hitlerist-type rallies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unacceptable, really.
Yes.
Well,
and
enjoy California,
I
tell you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Pardon?
One of the things I like that you said is, like, they can't whine about Jason's Jason's silence when the Czechs, they were mistreated of speaking out against the war. And I agree, because they were speaking out against an unjust war and they weren't calling for violence. This guy seemed like he was calling for violence, and he obviously, he's an obvious racist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know there's everywhere, so... You know, it's just something that I'm hoping one of these days goes away, but I doubt that it will anytime soon.
Yeah, Khalil, enjoy California, man. We appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Khalil. Take care.
Bye. That was Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia and everything. Yes, man, so... Yeah, Donald Trump, he's a piece of work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no other person who sat in presidency has ever behaved the way he has. You know, the arrogance and sheer gall and audacity for him to, like, you know, be strutting around like a proud peacock for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's unheard of. It's never been done before. And, you know, the karma will get them eventually. So Texas is charging prisoners 50% more for bottled water as they're struggling to endure a deadly heat wave in facilities without air conditioning. I mean, you know, we come back to Trump, but, you know, what the hell is happening in Texas? It seems like Texas and Florida are in competition to say who's the weirdest one, you know? They are the cruelest, not weirdest, but cruelest. What do you think about that, Lori?
It's absolutely horrible. Greg Abbott is some kind of evil. He's not a human being. Something has happened to that man. I don't know. I know he's in a wheelchair. I know he had an accident. I really, I've never looked or investigated to see how, you know, how long ago it was. But he seems like he has access to grind with the world and poor, you know, people that are not like him, that are poor, you know, and the immigrants and, you know, the construction workers that do the hard everyday work in 100-degree temperatures are not allowed to drink water. Who is this man? I mean,
mm-hmm.
who does he is that he can, you know, make such an order like that and expect people to still go to work, number one, and number two,
mm-hmm.
abide by. That is cruel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only that, it is dangerous. You can
mm-hmm.
pass out from it. You can have a heart attack from it. You know, there's so many, you know, dangers from being dehydrated. That is just evil and wrong. And I won't even get into what he's done at the Rio Grande. You know, the buoys that he's put in there with barbed wire around them, and people have gotten stuck on there, and he's been told to take it down by the administration, by President Biden, to put, you know, dismantle it, and he said no, that he
mm-hmm.
won't. I mean, who does he think that he is?
Yeah, Justice Department asked him to remove it. People, one person's died already because of it, and you know, he should be charged with murder. And Abbott thinks that, you know, he's the end all and be all, you know. And imagine if that were his family member being thrown back in the Rio Grande with all
care.
The sharp razors and the water and everything.
Well,
it's up to Texas, really, because Texas voted for this man to be governor, and
you know.
They keep voting Republican. So until
go ahead.
Until, you know, good sense prevail and vote out Republicans like Abbott and whoever else, who just inhumane and who are evil like this, then the same thing will keep happening over and over again. You know, so, yeah, but, yeah, go ahead, Laurie.
No, nothing. I was just going to say, I just don't understand how a man, you know, in his position, and, you know, even the people around him, they have obviously have no influence on him. That's the other thing that I think about, you know, like the lieutenant governor and, you know, his administration. Are they all as cruel and cold-hearted as him? Or is it because he's the governor and they know that he rules with a, you know, with an iron fist? I don't understand. And Texas, I would never live in Texas if someone gave me a home, a car, anything. I wouldn't live there for anything. To me, that is awful. And Florida, the same. Most of the red states, I'd say about the same thing about right now. But I just don't understand how people can be so heartless and cold and sinister and evil and still go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and look at themselves in the mirror, figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's the point of Republicans being cruel and heartless like they are, no matter who it is, especially in the red states who, you know, it's like the people haven't gotten that Republicans don't care about them. They only care about the 1% of corporations, you know, until that, you know, is resolved and people wake up and have, you know, some sense, actually act like after some sense. You know, things would change, but for now, you know, things are getting worse and worse because these so-called Christians like Abbott are doing what they're doing without fear in the whole point of the thing. It's like it's a piece for evangelicals, and we're in a presidential season, and so don't be surprised if one day Greg Abbott decides to jump in the race, because the more cruel you are and more inhumane you are, the more popular you become in the Republican Party. We've seen it with Trump.
Oh yes, we've seen plenty in these last few years that have been long and difficult to face every day and listen to and have to go through. And I think a lot of people are stressed out and tired of the, you know, of it. I know I am, but I want to see this finished and find a way for the country to move on. Let's talk a minute about Carlos de Oliveira. He is the third defendant in Trump's indictment. he was the valet maintenance worker and most recently a property manager at Trump's resort at, you know, Mar-a-Lago. Carlos de Oliveira was added as a third defendant and Donald Trump's complicated classified documents indictment on Thursday. He faces charges such as trying to obstruct justice, concealing records and documents, and making false statements to the FBI. The case, which concerns the former president's handling of top secret documents, also includes Walting Nauta, Trump's personal valet and body man. De Oliveira was a valet, a maintenance worker, and more recently a property manager at Trump's resort, according to the superseding indictment. He is 56 years old, lives in Lake Worth, Florida, and was said to be a longtime employee of the resort who kept to himself and liked to play golf, according to a local news station. Those who knew him also told the station they were shocked he could have been part of any criminal activity. The indictment said De Oliveira helped Nauta move 30 boxes of documents from Trump's residence to a storage room and ask the person responsible for surveillance at the resort to delete the footage on behalf of Trump. And he was actually called the boss, by the way. He was also accused of draining the resort pool to flood the room that contained surveillance footage. When the FBI discovered the documents at Mar-a-Lago in August of 22, Trump allegedly called Dee Oliverio and said he would get him an attorney. Dee Oliverio is set to appear in federal court in Miami on July 31st. So what do you think of that one, David?
Boy, yeah, so, you know, they'd have to fire me. Trump would have to fire me before I float in a room destroying evidence or, you know, asking or ordering somebody to erase evidence that was recorded. You know, I'm not going to jail or prison for anybody, you know.
No.
And this guy, Dee Oliverio, who did what Trump said he should do, and he's an idiot. You know, Trump didn't hold a gun to his head saying he should do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Why you take a fall for a guy who don't care about anybody, who's a narcissistic, self-centered, egotistical bastard? It's like people are drawn in by Trump. It's some like Jim Jones sort of effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary, really, where people don't think of themselves and just do Trump's bidding. You know, it's like they're almost hypnotized, you know? And no matter how much evidence there is, and no matter how much indictments and how many investigations going on, you'd rather life of Trump and put your life in jeopardy and your freedom in jeopardy to protect this man who obviously, as a narcissist, don't care for anybody, even his children. Donald Trump threw under the bus. So why Dee Oliverio did what he did? Out of pure blind loyalty, and it was stupid. And I hope that Dee Oliverio get the book thrown at him because he's a moron. And, you know, good for him.
I try to think about these people, these two men. And, you know, the one was in the service and, you know, now he's, I mean, that career is destroyed if he was getting a pension or anything like that because he retired from that. And, you know, I know that he was his valet and probably his buddy, and they probably chatted, you know. But this other man, I mean, it didn't, you know, it seems like from what I've read, they said he kept to himself. He just did his job. You know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, he should definitely get the book thrown at him and definitely have to go through whatever anyone else would have to go through. But you just kind of wonder, you know, did he realize what he was doing when he was moving those 30 boxes? Did he realize?
Yeah, he's a grown-ass man. He has no mental incapacity. He's a grown-ass man.
I know,
you know.
I know that. But I'm just wondering, did he know the severity of what he was doing? That is what I mean. I imagine that he did, but I don't know. People like that, you just kind of wonder. Was he worried about, you know, he was ordered to move the boxes? Was he worried about losing his job? You know, feeding his family? I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying that by any means he should not be charged, or if he did it, he should be convicted and go to prison just like anyone else. But you just have to wonder about these people and their personalities and their inability to say no or try to at least think about it before you do it. It's just so mind-boggling to me. It just is.
Not to me, because the people who Trump hang out with are usually narcissistic like himself and self-centered and arrogant and egotistical. And as a grown-ass man, this Dee Oliverio person should know what he's doing and what he's about, you know?
Yeah.
And like Trump, he thinks he's above the law. You know, his behavior shows that way, you know? So, again,
yeah,
there's
no
wondering if this guy should be thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, for what he did for Donald Trump.
Oh,
You know, there's no wondering about it. He's a moron.
No, I'm not.
He's a moron.
No, I'm not wondering, David. I'm just wondering their mindset. That's what I think about, your mindset. It's like, you know you're not doing something right. You know that this could get you, you know, in deep, deep trouble. You know that you could lose your life, you know, not physically lose your life, but yeah, sort of, if you go to, you know, go to prison. But did they not think about any of that, the consequences? That is what boggles my mind, that they went forward.
Again, no, they don't. No.
Yeah.
They don't think about it because of their arrogance.
And you're right. No, and you're right. It is obvious. But I just try to flip it and try to think, why? Why? I mean, why would you do that to yourself for this man? I just, it's mind-boggling to me. Anyway.
Yeah,
let's
the boss said so. Anyway, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name, where you're calling from, website to visit. To buy merchandise, it's kitchenpolitics123.com. Okay, so now Trump political committee spent more than $40 million on legal fees, and scores of people are tied to the former president that faced legal costs because of investigations, you know, and more to come. And without going further, his lawyers are even asking before the third indictment drops. To ask them for, you know, for payment. Donald Trump has a reputation of paying people for services. So he continues to do so. And, you know, he claims to be a billionaire, so why is he asking his minions out there, his Trump loyalist supporters, to send him money? If he's a billionaire, he should be able to afford it himself. And like idiots again, they keep sending money, buying his paraphernalia or what have you. Donald Trump, you know, was in the same room with them, and they're on fire. Donald Trump would even piss on them, much less help them in any way. So why give money to Donald Trump? And in fact, you know, taking them by him and his cult-like figure, you know, status, his whole attitude, his whole narcissism, you know, his racism. I guess I feel at home with Donald Trump when he got to a rally and he behaves the way he does and everything. You know, it's like, wow, okay, somebody who talks like me and thinks like me, you know? Yeah, so, yeah, to me, $40 million and counting, he's going to need a lot more than that. But slowly but surely, people are waking up to his grift. And, you know, he's desperate. His back is against the wall. You know, if a fourth indictment hits, then, you know, let's just prosecute him because you have so much on Donald Trump. You know, this whole delay and the court system going slowly. You know, it's just tedious, you know. We should let's move on as quickly as possible before the presidential election season. We just indict him and just go over with it. Because who knows? God forbid he's in prison. He is somehow elected president. Well, would he pardon himself? Is there a rule against that? You know? It was throw the whole country in a constitutional crisis.
And trust me, if there was a way, he would find it. You know what I'm saying? If there was a way, he would definitely find it. There's no doubt about it. So this man has no boundaries. He has no boundaries. He has no depth. He would do anything. And that's why he's running for president. We all know that. He's running for president to keep himself out of prison. And that's why the timeline is so important to me. And, you know, you stated earlier, if it was anyone else, you know, they would be sitting in prison, you know, waiting for the court dates. And I agree with you 100%. You know, he's still traveling around the country, you know, doing his hate rallies and telling people, you know, that he's, you know, the election was stolen, you know, and, you know, calling Biden a son of a bitch. He did that last night, you know, and that's just disgusting. Why is Biden a son of a bitch? Mm-hmm. What has Biden done to him? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't talk about him. He's not even made a comment about what Trump is going through, or what he did, or what he's done, or what he's going to do, or what he wishes for him to do, or wishes for him to go. He really hasn't. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and Trump is on attack mode. He is on attack mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it's unfair that he is out and about and spewing his lies and his BS on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should be some way, somehow, someone should find a way to make it that he cannot go to these rallies. House arrest, something, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just goes to show you that the rich and the powerful and the affluent
yeah.
is above the law. Until Donald Trump is convicted and has spent mm-hmm. time in prison, then I believe that under the law, everybody is equal. We have another call from West Michigan. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. so we let this person in. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Good evening. How are you guys doing? It's Sue.
Oh,
how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, good, good.
I'm just wondering why they don't get a gag order on him. How can he go on and on at all these gatherings
yeah.
and
yeah.
bullshit is all he's doing. But he's bad-mouthing
mm-hmm.
everybody and everything. Oh, I'm going to get rid of all the DOJ and
mm-hmm.
Everybody's got to go to prison but him. You know, it's
yeah.
ridiculous. He shouldn't be out of jail. The very least, they have to do a gag order. So when he goes to one of those
mm-hmm.
Conventions, all he can say is what he's going to do for the country besides, you know, getting rid of everybody. I don't understand
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
he can get away with it. It just doesn't seem right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in all, you know, everything that he says, every time that he goes to these rallies, he just spews hate, and all he does is light up the base. He sets a fire on them, you know, puts a fire underneath
mm-hmm.
them. And he knows that they're ignorant people. They have to be. They have to be. After all these years and all the proof, all these articles that have come out, he's daily on the news. How can anyone still support this man? Do their brains work in their heads? Do they work? I don't know.
Well, they said that in a major investigation survey of the people that are pro-Trump, they're very low educated, they said, compared to the other people that are against
yeah.
him. So that stands to reason. But also, they're fascists, and he's just a figurehead for them being white supremacists, you know, and anti-Jews and anti-everything, you know. And he is the excuse for them to gather steam, and they want him in there because they know they can start disrupting everything in our government. And it's happening around the world, Italy and other
mm-hmm.
countries. Look at Israel right now. I mean, the courts and everything, how they're manipulating everything. And it's got, you know, I have visions of World War II. I mean, that's what's
mm-hmm.
happening, and it scares the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Susie, you know, I think more than likely they're giving him more rope to hang himself, because when he talks about his kids,
that's
you know,
true.
Just,
the more he talks, the more he hangs himself. Yep, yep.
Yes, yes. And according to Duncan Levin, he is the former Manhattan District Attorney who works inside that office, he said that, you know, Trump ranting on Truth Social and speaking about his case that rally will likely change once he appears in the Manhattan courthouse again. Because, you know, if a judge slap a gag order on him and, you know, he disobeys this order, under New York law, he was held in criminal contempt and fined $1,000 or 30 days in jail or both. You know, so I think at this point, they're giving him enough room to hang himself. But I think a gag order is needed because Trump just can't shut his mouth, you know, and people are just sick of him just yapping, talking about, oh, how Hillary this, how Joe Biden that. Nobody want to hear it. You know, if you notice, when his rallies used to be thousands of people, but people come in hundreds now, even fewer.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do come, they try to leave where it's just repetitive and boring and makes no sense. So people, again, are slowly but surely waking up that this guy is a loon who shouldn't be taken seriously. And he's like, you know, he's crazy, basically, you know.
That's I wonder if he ever paid all those security guards in those cities from the last time he ran from office, if they would even allow him back in their towns and cities to have these stupid gatherings for, you know, because he owed everybody so much money. His campaign never paid them for security and all that stuff, even rental of the stadiums and things. I mean, he owes people everywhere.
I would say no, he didn't pay. That's my guess.
I mean, he owes Albuquerque money for the past near 3 years now, and hasn't paid. So anywhere he goes, he doesn't pay because he's entitled, you know? That's why I'm a president. Or as Donald Trump, you know, the Trump name should mean something. So how dare you ask me? For money, for using your services. That's the arrogance again of Donald Trump. That's the whole narcissistic, disgusting, you know, persona of Donald Trump.
Doesn't he still owe taxes in New York and stuff?
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I mean, even the feds, didn't they, are they still investigating all of his financials? When's that coming up? I mean, they even got the mafia on the tax thing, so maybe that'll do them in.
I hope so.
That'd be nice.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's a funny
it's just taking so long. He should be out of there.
Yep. That's what most of us feel is the frustration of how long it's taken. And logically we understand why, because it all takes time. The investigation takes time. You know, setting the charges and going through witnesses, and the whole thing is so complicated. I don't think I could handle doing that type of a job. But what I'm saying is that, and everything has to be perfect. And I think, you know, a mistake could set him free.
I know. It's just erratic. He gets up there and he says, oh, I'm against the DOJ, when he redid it, got rid of people, had them do things just for him and against the law behind the scenes when he was president. He's saying about Biden's son and not paying taxes when he hasn't paid taxes. And then they're saying, oh, impeach Biden. For what? Everything you think up of, Trump has done. And he's been impeached twice. What did that do? Yep. He should have gone to jail directly after that. And you know, what he tried to do to poor Ukraine, you know, trying to blackmail him. Oh, you got to find dirt on Biden's kid, you know. I mean, all that crap. It's just mind-boggling. He goes and accuses other people of what he's already done, including you know, McCarthy and Jordan. Oh my God! All they go is all they're doing in Congress is bringing up all this crap and doing this bullshit investigation, and they haven't done one thing for the country. Not one thing. What have Republicans done? Nothing.
Well, you know, speaking of Republicans, I'm enjoying how they're fighting amongst themselves. I don't know if you're aware that Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy and Congressman Eric Sliwell from California almost came to physical blows because McCarthy
was
trying to beat him up in the House. The Congress has gone from bad to worse. It wasn't Sliwell's fault, but you know, it's not. It's a very unbecoming for any Speaker of the House to act the way that McCarthy did and everything. And for the record, I think Sliwell would kick his ass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because
McCarthy's rolled
McCarthy
over.
McCarthy has no backbone.
Yeah, he's just, you know, a puttana, really, as they say in Italian. I mean, he's doing what he can to stay there. He doesn't belong there. He doesn't have a backbone. He's just going with the flow, whatever Trump wants.
Eric Swalwell has been paying. He gets death threats every day, and his family gets death threats every day. So
I know that's wrong.
He's making a few million dollars. I thought he said over $2 million out of his campaign money to pay for protection for his family and himself. Now, you know, that within itself is appalling. So I understand why he is upset and mad and angry. You know, I mean, I get it. And, you know, McCarthy has no dignity. He doesn't deserve any respect. And instead of, you know, instead of being a leader, he is a follower, or he's taking orders from, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and
all the MAGA righties.
Haley, and, you know, Boebert, and, you know, the list is long. And one day I'm going to make the list because I need to do that. And, you know, he's basically just there as a figurehead. He has no power. He has no control. And so when Eric Swalwell confronted him, so what? He deserved it. He doesn't deserve any less. He doesn't demand respect from anybody. He doesn't demand respect, you know, he doesn't tell Marjorie Taylor Greene she has to respect those that, you know, come in front of her committee and how horribly she talks to them. He never corrects her. So you know what? He got what he deserved. I wish you would have punched him in the face. I really do. I wish you would have punched him in the face. It's deserving.
They're just a disgrace. It's just so sickening to see what they aren't doing. And then they took off early, you know, from Congress and left all this crap floating,
And you know what? And they get paid.
A lot.
You know, when you're working a job, you know, you have a vacation, so many vacation days. Can you go into your boss's office and say, hey, I don't feel like working this week. You know, I don't feel like working this week. I'm just going to take the week off. Bye. See ya. You're fired. You are fired, basically. You know, unless the boss feels, you know, real, I don't know. The boss would probably fire you or put you on probation or say no. That's it. I mean,
they're in office to make money, let's face it. They are beholden to all the big corporations and the big pharma, and they're getting tons of money in their campaign funds from these companies, so then they vote their way. And it's just that's the only reason they're there. They're doing nothing for we the people. They're only doing it for their pocketbooks. And then when they get out of office, they are, lobbyists. And, you know, making more money. So that's all they're there for. It's disgusting.
You know, look at the railroad strike. You know, basically, they were asking for more than anything else was just sick days. They wanted, I think it was 5 or 7 sick days. That's all they wanted.
A year. With the COVID going on and everything. That's nothing.
And it is nothing, because when you have a sick child or, you know, you're sick, you know, 5 days is not much, you know. But what I'm saying is that they had to negotiate for that. In the beginning, they didn't get it. They did get it now. I think they ended up with 5 days. I think they asked for 7. But my point that I'm trying to make is that they don't even get that kind of time off. And these people decide to pack up and leave because they are who they are. They don't care.
No,
and
they
don't do anything about it. We do nothing about it. And the only thing we say is, oh, well, we have to vote them out. Well, you know, I'm getting tired of hearing that. I don't know what the answer is or how to solve it, but, you know, it's just wrong.
I know. It's so sad because it's the fox watching a chicken coop. That's all it amounts to. I mean, they do, they make the laws so they can make them any way they want, and it's to their advantage. Same like the court now, the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
They're disgusting. They have no rules. They're there forever. They have all this side hustle going on, being bought off by people, the rich and famous, and I mean the powerful, and we can't do anything about it. Congress can't even do anything about it. A few of the Democrats want to, and a couple of Republicans, but how are they going to get that passed?
Yeah, it's like I said, and we knew, you know, what was basically was going to happen. We knew that, you know, we would have all this stalemate, and you know that they weren't. But the things, the committees that they've had are so ridiculous, and you know, they scream at people and they accuse them when they're, you know, asking these questions on these committees and degrading them. And, you know, I'd watch Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Republican people appointed by Trump that are
right.
in charge of the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ, and they're belittling them in front of everybody for all the sacrifices they made. How dare they?
Yeah.
How dare they do that?
Yeah.
They have no right. They have no grounds. All it is, it's a circus. It's a circus.
Yep. It is a circus. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it.
Yes, ma'am. So right now, from man Kim, Michael Cohen unloads on Trump's asinine grievance policy. Donald Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, warned on MSNBC this past Sunday that Republican presidential candidates' dalliances with neo-fascism indicate that there's a little daylight between themselves and Trump, whose brand of grievance politics has stripped the GOP primaries voting block. The segment began, of course, at a version recalling Trump's credo, "They indicted me to you. I'm protecting you, and I'm the only one between you and them." You know, so that's, Hitler wrote that, you know, when they said, hey, you know, Hitler said, if they indict me, I'm just standing between you and them. You know, so it's a playbook, just out of the playbook of Adolf Hitler and me and Jesus. And Cohen also went on to say, quote, "It's right out of Mein Kampf, which allegedly Donald Trump used to keep on the side of his table. And to anybody who thinks for a quick second that, listen, there's no way he's going to win, it was pretty packed audience last night in Erie, Pennsylvania, his last Nazi rally, and shame on each and every one of them for going there. After you start hearing, even like the stupidity from the DeSantis, who's trying to beat Donald Trump, to be Donald Trump 2.0 about slavery and then the Holocaust. You know, the Republicans are out of control. You know, what do you think about, you know, Donald Trump using Mein Kampf as, you know, reference when he makes these rally outcries?
It's awful. Let's just talk a little bit about that, because I think we need to understand, to be educated a little bit about what that is. It is a book that that was written by Hitler, and it was written on July 18th, 1925. That's when it was published. Hitler wrote it in prison, and when he was serving a sentence for a failed coup that he attempted in 1923. In Mein Kampf, Hitler wrote about his ideology, oh my gosh, and presented himself as a leader of the... Yes, it wouldn't come out of my mouth.
I do that all the time.
I know. He talked about the life and his youth his conversion to anti-Semitism, the hatred of Jews, and his time as a soldier in the First World War. He raged against the Treaty of Versailles and the reparations that Germany had to pay because of the treaty. He did not believe in parliamentary democracy. Mein Kampf is a full racist ideas and hatred of Jews and communists. He also wrote a lot about the future of Germany. He wanted to expand the Germany territory in Eastern Europe and to throw the Jews out of Germany, since he believed they threatened the survival of German people. Although the book does not refer to the later mass murder of Jews during the Second World War, the Holocaust, it does show that he had already developed a hatred at Jews at that time. So Donald Trump keeps this book on his side table as a guide. So think about that for a moment. A book about hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Bible of hatred, basically.
And being a dictator and, you know, hating Jews and certain people and, you know.
I know,
people
of color. So I don't understand why people of color would even think of voting for him, let alone showing up at his rallies. I don't understand that one bit.
No, I don't either.
You know, coming down that escalator, you know, they're all murderers and rapists, and yet they're there. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Stockholm, it's called Stockholm Syndrome, where, you know, just look up Stockholm Syndrome and it explains why people of color follow Donald Trump. They don't know who they are, or if they do know who they are, they hate who they are. So,
What do they think? It's a fun club you go to belong or something? Don't they realize what they're supporting? This is not, you know, a fraternity. This is major hatred and horrible things that they want to do to our country. And the thought that he could even get in office, even run for office with all these indictments against him just blows my mind.
Do you think Eileen Connor will be removed as a judge, or what's your feeling on that case?
Is that that gal down in Florida?
Cannon?
Down in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so far she's not saying much because she knows her job's on the line, I think, because the appellate court is watching her like a hawk so far. She shouldn't have been there anyway. She has no experience, so why would they put her in that spot? But I think she's going to be cautious because she already got reprimanded. One more time, she's out of, loses her seat. So I'm hoping that she won't screw things up. But she shouldn't even be there at all, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right about that. I think she's also been receiving death threats to make sure.
Everybody's getting death threats.
Mm-hmm.
Or terrible.
Mm-hmm. She has been getting death threats. So she has to watch her P's and Q's as well. So we shall see how that turns out. We'll just see. You know.
Yeah.
I hope they run down all these people that do the death threats, you know, like even here in Michigan and Gretchen and all that stuff. Go to trial, go to jail, because you cannot do that. I mean, there should be some kind of justice against these people. They're costing us millions of dollars on security, putting people and their families, what did their family do? Little kids and everything in jeopardy, and they're scared, you know, running around and terrified for doing their jobs. And there's got to be a payback, you know. They have to pay for this. You open your big mouth, you're going to pay for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Adam Schiff, a congressman from California, said this Sunday, today, that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is floating an impeachment inquiry into President Biden to deal with the craziest Republicans in his conference. So, again, mm-hmm. Republicans trying to deflect off the nonsense that they're doing in terms of not working on behalf of the American people mm-hmm. and throwing an impeachment against Biden. On what grounds? Nobody knows, but it's very concerning. And I think McCarthy may open up an impeachment inquiry just to, appease the craziest people in his conference. Of course, we all know that impeachment will get anywhere when it reaches the Senate, it'll be dead. What's
especially
your update
since,
on that, Lord?
Especially since Biden has done more for this country than ever mm-hmm. any other president. We came back mm-hmm. from the brink. And mm-hmm. the jobs are better than ever. Economy mm-hmm. is booming. And, I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't control gas prices and food prices. And those are the two things that mm-hmm. are driving the inflation that everybody's bitching about. I mean, he mm-hmm. tried, but he can't do anything on the oil companies. And now, because of the heat, gas prices are going to go up again. But, I mean, you know, the Republicans don't think we have climate warming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is the worst temperature in July ever recorded all over the
yep.
world. So, you know, but
okay.
there's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with our climate, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no grounds, and they're proving it, and they, you know, it was on you know, the morning Sunday talk shows on how much Biden has done for our country. And,
oh, yeah.
And he's got to mm-hmm. get out there. We got to get out there and yell it from the rooftops because, I mean, what the hell did the Republicans do? What have they done?
Nothing.
Not
absolutely
a damn thing.
Nothing.
Even while asshole was president, they did nothing.
Yeah, the other thing is McCarthy is such a weakling that he will do anything to hold on to his speakership that he had to, you know, basically beg for votes to, you know, to have that position and just to hold on to it maybe another week, another month, you know, another 6 months, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so this is the kind of stuff that we have to put up with because Speaker McCarthy can't control his own people. He can't control them. He can't control
no.
any of them.
He's spineless
and
he has no power whatsoever over these idiots.
No power. No, over any of them. You know, so he's just going to go along with everything and, you know, let him light the fires. And doesn't he think about his legacy too? That once this is over with, he's done? Does he realize that as well? I mean, doesn't he get that? Or is he another one of those people that don't think of the consequences? They're just, he's just in there now doing what he's doing, you know, reaping the benefits. And I don't know what kind of a benefit he can be, you know, reaping at this point because of, you know, how everything is so horribly being taken care of by all of them. And but doesn't he think about his own legacy?
Obviously not. He's thinking, I was Speaker of the House once.
Yeah. Well, is he going to retire after this? Because who the hell is going to vote for him for anything? Really?
Well, when you think of Boebert and Green got in and that idiot from New York, what's his name, that you haven't heard a word from in a long time?
George Santos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did they get in? Why would people vote for them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said.
They're uneducated, all of them. I mean, they didn't even go to college, let alone,
mm-hmm.
what's their name, they didn't
mm-hmm.
even graduate from school, high school.
Yeah.
And they're running
mm-hmm.
our country? Are you kidding me?
The only thing is this is just another distraction. It's nothing else but a distraction. You know, something else we have to spend 10 minutes worrying about. Oh, they're going to impeach President Biden. For what? You know, for what? For doing his job. That's what for. That's why. You know, just for doing his job. You know, let me just go over a little bit about what he's done because I took a few notes today and since we're talking about President Biden, and so here are some good things, some bad things, and some ugly things that are of the American economy. And there's some things you just can't do everything at once. So in it, right now, inflation is slowly going down. I don't know if anyone's noticed that, but I've noticed it. It's not a lot, but a few things like at the grocery store are coming down. The size of the U.S. economy is now over 5% of the 2019 level. That's a good thing. Our labor market has been very strong. Our GDP, our gross domestic product, increased at an annual rate of 2.4% in the second quarter of 2023. What's not so good is the cost of food and housing still remain high. Consumer debt is near record highs because people are using their credit cards more frequently. Labor unrest in Hollywood, and also the auto workers are going to be coming up for, I think they're going to be coming up pretty soon with new contracts. They're going to be negotiating. So we'll see how that goes. In Hollywood, they've been out since, what, May? How are these people sleeping? How are they living?
I don't know. And then a lot of them don't make hardly any money anyway.
I wonder about that. And you know what? Hollywood does not care. They don't care.
No.
They do not care. You can tell they don't care. And then the ugly part of what's happening in America, but in the world, is that we have been having extreme heat waves, you know, and those do threaten the economy. They do. The interest rates are a little bit on the high side, and it's going to be for a little bit longer. And then the student loan payments will return in the fall, which I think is sad. But overall, like I've said many times, here where I live, traffic is awful. People are shopping. People are going out. They're going to restaurants, and maybe they're using their credit cards. I don't know. But I think the economy is – I feel a difference in the air, so to speak, from 2008. There was a big difference between what people were doing and spending in 2008 than there is in 2023. That's my opinion, whatever it's worth.
I would like to see the feds lower the interest rates and people could actually afford to buy cars and get mortgages. That's what's hurting a lot. And they need to put a clamp on the inflation by, you know, gas prices, bringing those down. And rentals, it's crazy. You'd rent a crappy trailer for $1,600 a month. You got to be kidding me.
Well,
why?
The thing is, Susie, you know, and President Biden gets blamed for all of that. You know, he cannot dictate what.
No, he can't. No, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming the feds on that, on the interest rates. And big business, greedy people. I mean, you know, like. You look in bags of chips, they're less than half full. And I was looking at the little Milano cookies. They're half the size for the more money than they were before. So all these corporations are taking advantage of people. You know, they think we're stupid, that we're getting less for our money. And, you know, you charge us more and give us less, and that's okay. And then they wonder why there's inflation. Give me a break.
Well, that's part of the problem, is because these corporations do not want to take $5 out of their own income. You know, they want to reap all the benefits and grab all the money and reinvest it and whatever they do with it. And
the CEOs are getting overpaid big time for what? What are they doing? And they're making tons and tons, millions and millions for what?
Yes. You know, and then we have people like Jeff Bezos who, you know, worries about going into space you know, take that money that you would use to go into space, you know, and
put air conditions in a damn delivery trucks, pay your people a decent wage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, it's all cockeyed right now, the world. I don't recognize it at all.
Yep, I agree.
And the Supreme Court started it, giving corporations the right to give as much as they want to politicians instead of the $2,400 a year, a campaign period, one time only, to politicians when we were in business. This is crazy. Now they give them millions and millions, and they buy and pay for them, and therefore nothing gets fixed. Everything's screwed up. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle. It's horrible.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Congressman Dirk Van Orden, he recently had a run-in with college interns and PhDs for the U.S. Senate. He is a MAGA Republican fascist. He represents the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin. And he's a retired U.S. Navy SEAL. What else about this man? Basically, that's it really I know about this man. And so recently he was having a party with his staff and interns and what have you. And what this man do, the interns were working overtime, basically, trying to They're working on the Defense Authorization Act, the National Defense Authorization Act. It worked past midnight. And, you know, the way Congressman Van Orden treated these people like there were pariahs on Capitol Hill. Well, as we play the clip, it says that he refuses to apologize for swearing at teenagers, these college interns, and pages for the U.S. Senate, and I'm going to play a little bit of it. This is from the Young Turks, TYT. Here it is.
In the early hours of Thursday morning, Republican Representative Dirk Van Orden decided to cuss out a group of teenage Senate pages. Now, why did he decide to do this? Apparently, it's because they were taking a nap after working long hours to help get the National Defense Authorization Act passed. Now, that makes Van Orden a massive hypocrite for two really big reasons, which we will get into in a minute. But first, let's talk about why he was so infuriated, apparently, by them napping. Well, the pages were sleeping in the Capitol Rotunda after a long shift assisting Senate operations. And when he saw the pages, Van Orden said the following, which is going to be highly abridged because he said a lot of things that I can't say. But this is according to a transcript written by the pages just minutes after the incident. So from that transcript, wake the F up, you little S's. What the F are you all doing? Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space, you pieces of S. And if you thought it stopped there, you would be wrong because he kept going. So let's keep going. Who the F are you? Van Orden asked, to which one person said they were Senate pages. I don't give an F who you are. Get out, you jackasses. He added, I love the idea of asking who they are and then immediately following it up with, I don't care who you are. Okay, sir, then why did you ask? But you'd think that he was so outraged because he must have been really hard at work. But nope, that wasn't what was happening. Not according to this tweet. Let's pull that up from Max Cohen. Per a source, here's a photo from last night of a bunch of alcohol in Van Orden's office. Van Orden and staff were heard partying loudly before he cursed out a group of teenage Senate pages. And inexplicably, or maybe explicably because he's a Republican, but he refused to apologize for getting drunk and disorderly and yelling at some poor kids. And I can't prepare you for this statement. I just have to read it because I am still not able to wrap my head around what he said. But he did respond in a statement, and he said, the Capitol Rotunda served as a field hospital when countless Union soldiers died fighting to free men in the Civil War. I have long said our nation's capital is a symbol of the sacrifice our servicemen and women have made for this country and should never be treated like a frat house common room. And he continues on saying, threatening a congressman with bad press to excuse poor behavior is a reminder of everything that's wrong with Washington. Luckily, bad press has never bothered me, and it's the price I pay for standing up for what's right, then so be it. And we have a little bit more about Van Orden and why this is so.
Wow. Van Orden, the same Van Orden who supported the insurgency when Donald Trump and his minions came down there destroying the building. So here's another nerve, the hypocrisy of this asshole.
Yeah, another one.
Wow.
They're in droves.
Really?
They're in droves. Can you find one that's not, please? So annoying. Can you imagine?
These people.
You know, can you imagine these young people, you know, working their butts off, and you have some drunk come in and yell at you and scream at you and call names, and I hope they all quit. I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And he's supposed to be one of the governmental leaders. And look how he treats kids. And,
yeah.
You know, he partied hardy and then gets drunk and yells at the kids. And one of the kids was laying on his back taking pictures of the rotunda from the ground because it's gorgeous. And he yelled at them, get up off the floor, you know, and calling them names. It's horrible.
Yeah.
What a big example, right, for those little those young kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're young Republicans, by the way, you know, ready to serve a jerk. Well, he's more than that, but I'll be nice. And, you know, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I hope none of them go back. That's what I hope for.
Switch parties.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as a college intern and Paige, you're not allowed to be partisan. You have to be neutral because you work for the entire U.S. Senate and not just Democrats or Republicans.
I think so
that
too.
Job
you're
is
right.
Non-partisan.
Mm-hmm.
But going on to the Supreme Court, Judge Alito stunningly wrong, saying that Senate can't impose Supreme Court ethics rule. He and Senator Christopher Murphy from Connecticut clashed recently, and Senator Murphy has dismissed claims that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, that the Senate has no authority to create a code of conduct for the country, for the court, as stunningly wrong. The Connecticut Democrat made those remarks in an interview on CNN State of the Union today, adding that Alito should know that more than anyone else because his seat on the Supreme Court exists. God, I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry. So basically, Alito is saying that U.S. Senate don't have a right to make any code of conduct to control the Supreme Court. So if the Supreme Court will not making their own, who has the authority, besides the U.S. Senate, to do such a thing? Because we see the corruption within the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your take on it, Lori?
I think it's ridiculous. You know, they're not above the law, and it's obvious that they believe that they are. They believe that they're untouchable. No matter what they do, they're untouchable. And no, they are not untouchable. They have to have set standards like everybody else. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's just how it should be. You know, and if he thinks that Alito went on to say, no provision in the Constitution gives them the authority to regulate the Supreme Court, period. And he went on to say, if we're reviewed as illegitimate, then disregard of our decisions becomes more acceptable and more popular. Oh, give me a break. What about Clarence Thomas? I mean, really? So he's allowed to, you know, get $500,000 here, go on trips, but they're supposed to report all this stuff. It's not a crime what he did, but it's he went against who you're supposed to log in and pay tax probably on those gifts. Sorry, that's how it is. But they don't think they should have to do that. Why? Because they're a Supreme Court justice? No. Sorry, you're a human, just like the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah,
they should have the same rules as the federal judges. All the judges have rules.
Exactly.
They're not supposed to be influenced in their decisions.
Well,
and by not saying
that's
where they're getting their goodies from, that's influence.
Well, they are influenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. And they should report it, and they should be under the regulations like all the other judges.
Yeah. I mean, these are billionaires flying, you know, Justice Thomas around the country, around wherever he went to all these islands and, you know, these $500,000 trips and, you know, excuse me, but he's a billionaire and he's going to want something for it. You think he gives things from the goodness of his heart? Those people
and I don't think they should be, I don't think they should be belong and go to dinners with the Federalists. The Federalists is a far right group that put the last three judges up there, and they should not have anything to do with them. That is against anything. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. They're supposed to be above politics, and they're not. They're in the middle of it. They're buried under it, and that's not right.
So the Senate Judiciary Committee voted this past Thursday along party lines to approve Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, he's a Democrat from Rhode Island, his bill that would overhaul ethics and transparency requirements for the Supreme Court. And this is a move that Republicans regard as an erosion of separation of powers and an attack on the conservative court. So they want to have a cake and eat it, too. So the conservative judges can do anything and just get away with it with no restrictions and no, you know, blowback and everything. Imagine if a left-leaning judge on the Supreme Court did that, they'll call for their expulsion, you know, and impeachment and removal from office. So, you know, my thing is, why give the Supreme Court members, you know, the position for life? You know?
I agree.
That's a little bit, you know, that's a little bit cuckoo, if you ask me.
It's a lot.
You know,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
There should be an age limit for Congress and the judges. You know, you only can be there for so long. So many, you know, senators and stuff can't be there until they're dying. Look at what's happening, you know, McConnell and what's her name, Feinstein. They should have been long gone, you know. And they, it's not right. There should be an age limit and also how long you can be there. You know, like if you get elected at 20, you might have to, you could stay till 60. But I don't know. You know, maybe it's 20 years on the bench is more than plenty, not 40, 50. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yep. You know, I mean, Congress has the authority to set the Supreme Court's budget and to infinitely expand the high court. But according to Justice Alito, Congress cannot require SCOTUS to have a code of ethics like the rest of the federal government. Rep. Richie Torres, a Democrat from New York, wrote on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Saturday. Does that sound remotely logical? Alito's next opinion piece in the WSJ, that's the Washington Journal, I believe, right? It's about
Wall
to be,
Street Journal.
It's
conservative
be,
paper.
Very much so. It's about to be, I am a little king, actually. The Constitution doesn't explicitly say, I am not. Oh, the renewed criticism seems unlikely to phase Alito, who told the Journal, he has stepped out of the traditional expectation that judges are mute in the face of political backlash. And he went on to say, I marvel at all the nonsense that has been written about me in the last year, he said. At a certain point, I've said to myself, nobody else is going to do this, so I have to defend myself. Really? So do you think his head is a little swollen?
Yeah.
A little swollen?
And nobody's defending him but him because he knows he's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Please. So his head is a little swollen. Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah, these people, some of these people believe that they're above the law because they're on the Supreme Court. They are the law. And they shouldn't be held accountable for their actions. But, you know, things will change because come 2024 November, God's willing, Democrats will take back the House, regain the Senate, and have the White House. And good sense can prepare. Because while, say, how it's working well in Michigan, in New Mexico, and blue states where they have a Democratic majority and things are being done compared to the southern states and the red states where, you know, they're going against women's rights, they're going against gay rights, they're going against everything, going against things, but not, you know, promoting health care, not, you know, promoting job training or finding jobs for people or, you know, they're having their limited resources doing rubbish, basically, prosecuting people for having an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, that's what's happening. In Oklahoma, this thing that where kids, you know, work in factories, you know, the miners, that's against
the
law.
Yeah, the child labor laws.
Most of these red states, most of these red states now are rolling back these laws. So, you know, kids under 18 years old can work for little or nothing. Mm-hmm. When they get hurt, so, oh, no, they made a mistake in their papers or lied in their application.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to be held accountable. You know, that's why we need to vote Democrats in, because these red right-wing nut jobs do not care about people. They just care about the bottom line and helping the 1%. And it's time for the South to wake up. The Bible Belt, South. They don't care about you. They don't give a shit about you.
No, you're right. And Alabama is going against, of all things, the Supreme Court on their voting rights. They won't won't redraw their lines, you know, the voting districts.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, we're not going to do that. They only have one black district when 75% of the state is black. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're going against that. And if they don't, and, you know, all these states like Texas and all that make it harder to vote, and they want to manhandle the right to vote to stay in power. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And that's what I'm afraid of, because they're changing those voter right laws. How can we overcome it in 2024 when people aren't allowed to vote like they should?
Well, in my opinion, we're no longer the United States of America. I don't think that we are. I think it's become, politics has become so polarized that every state tries to outdo another state. And I'm not talking about blue states, because the blue states basically are basically doing the right thing for its people, and they're paying attention, they're listening, and we know that. But these red states, they're trying to outdo each other as far as how cruel they can be. They complain about the migrants and, you know, and the immigrants taking jobs and, you know, coming across the border and sleeping in hotels and, you know, all this stuff that they make up. But there is a way to solve this. And the way to solve it is have immigration reform. But they won't do that either.
No,
so
they complain about it, but they never do anything about it. You're
right,
Lori.
So, right. So how can you in one hand say, oh, these migrants, these immigrants are taking jobs. Look at, they're coming across. We have to put barriers there. You know, they're, you know, taking up hotels. They're doing, you know, the crime and everything. And on the other hand, where the Democrats are saying, okay, let's come together with a bipartisan immigration reform bill. And no, they won't do it. How many years has it been that we have been waiting for immigration reform? And this is what drives me insane. We are not the United States of America. Bottom line, no longer. I don't know if we ever were, but it seemed like we were in years past, but it doesn't seem like it now. It does not. That's my opinion.
No, and I think a lot of it is that far right, and it's in the mm-hmm. name of Christians, you know, that they had to override mm-hmm. Roe versus Wade. And heaven mm-hmm. forbid if you get an abortion. Well, if you don't want one, don't get one, but don't tell me what to do. You know,
yeah.
people have mm-hmm. rights and privacy. Now they even want to know when you have the kid has a period. I mean, give me a
yeah.
break. This is getting
yep.
ridiculous. Oh, big government? Well, they're in your bedroom. They're in your doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh, in Florida, when it's gym time, you know, and you want to use the bathroom, check your genitals to see if you're a boy or a girl. No,
yeah,
isn't that, there's something creepy about that. I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
my
you
God.
Know? It's very creepy.
Would
wow, Republicans are creepy.
Oh,
yeah.
And did you see... Did you see Florida is losing professors and teachers, and they're just running out of the state? They have
mm-hmm.
thousands of empty slots. Who would
yeah.
want to
mm-hmm.
teach there? It's ridiculous.
Nah, nobody.
No.
Yeah. The census
nope.
has ruined the state of Florida. Republicans have
oh,
ruined
yeah.
the state of Florida.
Who can
yeah.
afford to live there? They
mm-hmm.
can't have insurance, and your house can blow away or flood. Why would you live there?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. Well, the final thing I want to talk about tonight is the Senate map when it comes to 2024. 33 Senates are up for grabs, but 10 Senate seats are vulnerable, and we should go through all of them, starting with West Virginia. The incumbent is Democrat Joe Manchin. He's
mm-hmm.
in the spotlight after a trip to New Hampshire that sparked speculation about a potential third-party presidential bid. The moderate Democrat, no, he's no moderate, goddammit. He's a blue
no.
dog conservative Democrat. He's widely seen as the only Democrat who could hold his Senate seat in the state. Trump twice chaired Virginia by double digits, has said he won't make a decision about running for re-election until the end of the year. Manchin did step up his fundraising in the second quarter, which is usually a sign an incumbent is gearing up for another race. So, do you think Republicans can win Joe Manchin's seat in West Virginia? Lori?
Hmm. I hope not. But if he's talking about running for third-party president,
mm-hmm.
then who's going to take his seat? It'll probably be a Republican. That's my guess. But
well,
I'm not.
Yeah, he still run for the seat while running for president. You know,
oh,
so,
okay.
you know, he'd be running in two races. You know, but
so
we
he
want
wants
a Republican
to put a monkey wrench on the Democratic side by stealing votes away from Biden. So that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mhm. Pretty much as well.
Yeah,
right.
Look at Montana. The incumbent there is John Tester. The National Republicans have landed a candidate they think can defeat John Tester, the incumbent U.S. Senator, in what's likely the second best pick opportunity. The former Naval SEAL, Tim Sheehy, launched his campaign
mm-hmm.
in late June, quickly picking up the backing of Governor Greg Gianforte and Congressman Ryan Zinke, as well as senators from around the country. And while some of those endorsements may not carry much favor with Montana voters, they're less the intended audience than Congressman Matt Rosendale, who lost the test in 2018 and is expected to launch his own Senate campaign bid. So, yeah, Montana is very red. John Tester is a conservative blue dog Democrat, and
mm-hmm.
he's like a middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see his vote records, he's like middle of the road, basically. You know, this Tim Sheehy guy, he is a veteran, Navy SEAL veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we all know that, you know, people go goo-goo gaga for Navy SEALs and whoever served in armed forces. Do you
mm-hmm.
think that John Tester can retain a seat, or do you think Tim Sheehy can unseat him?
Mm-hmm. Good question. It's hard to know. At this point, I feel like things are in the air. I cannot say. Mm-hmm. I would hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to know.
Number three, Ohio. The incumbent is Democrat Sherrod Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Love that man to death. The Republican Party, taken Sherrod Brown, got a little more crowded this week or this month with the entrance of Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose, unlike in other two Trump states with Democratic incumbents that topped his list. The National Republicans are staying neutral in the primary for now in Ohio. Businessman Bernie Moreno, who has received warm nuts from Trump and has a backing of Senator Chip Vance, raised nearly $2.3 million in the second quarter. State Senator Matt Dolan, who finished third in last year's primary after running as a conservative outside the Trump lane, is also in the race. It remains to be seen if Dolan can win a primary with that positioning. But with a family that owns the Cleveland Garden baseball team, he's got plenty of resources to try to run ads about the border and touting the sheriff's support. He loaned his campaign $1 million and raised $220,000 for the second quarter. So in Ohio, it seemed like the Republicans tearing each other apart. Matt Dolan, he's like the non-Trumper compared to Bernie Moreno, who's a businessman, who's pro-Trump. And they're going at it like, you know, wild animals.
Yeah.
So LaRose didn't have any personal resources, but has name recognition and a statewide elected official who won re-election by 20 points last year. So Sherrod Brown is a decent man, a good Democrat.
Yes, he is.
I don't think Republicans can beat Sherrod Brown in this race. What's your thoughts, Lori?
I don't think so either. I mean, look, he raised $5 million in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with his policy, you know, for the economy, and he's got he's got a history of winning. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, especially if they're Trump left. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Ohio's leaning Republican and right wing, but Sherrod Brown is respected and, you know, really liked in Ohio.
Yeah,
and as I say, he raised $5 million, and he has a record of proving that he's a winner in whichever race he's in. You know, so I think Sherrod Brown will win that race. Let's move to Arizona now. Independent, former Democrat Kristen Sinema. And, you know, this race is so weird because Sinema is running as an independent. And then we'll have a Democrat, Congressman Ruben Gallego. He's raised about $3.1 million, double that of Sinema in the second quarter. And, you know, he has a hefty cash in hand, which is $10.8 million in the bank. So on the GOP side, you have Mark Lamb. He's the county sheriff, who raised about $600,000 during that same time period. And Karen Lake, failed 2022 gubernatorial nominee, may put her hat in the ring, you know. So, I mean, that race is going in so many directions and so many people in it. Could you see Karen Lake versus Kristen Sinema versus Ruben Gallego? How do you think that will fly with the electorate? Because remember, Kristen Sinema is a former Democrat. She's the second voice from Gallego, you think. Are people fed up enough to say, hey, Kristen Sinema is an opportunist, so let me go with Gallego? Or would Sinema versus Gallego split before giving Karen Lake a seat? What's your thoughts? What's your opinion?
I think that Ruben Gallego has a
Gallego has a
good chance of winning. Sinema has shown everyone who she really is. I mean, she was a Democrat, then she's not a Democrat, and then independent. You know, she's No, that's my take. Now, when you put Terry Lake in there, that's something different.
Puke.
Yeah, absolutely puke. But I thought Terry Lake was going to hold out in case
Vice President.
Yes, for Vice President.
Oh God.
I'm gonna go with the Democrat.
I hope so.
Me too.
He's got to beat those two losers. Oh, my Lord.
I know. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think Gayoga has enough money to really bring the race to a quick conclusion. The closest candidate that raised any money is a Pinellas County sheriff, which is $600,000 compared to $10.8 million in the bank for Gallego. You know, so I think this is Gallego's race to lose, even if it's a three-way. I'm putting all my bets on Congressman Gallego to win this race for the Democrats.
I hope so.
In Nevada, incumbent Democrat Jackie Rosen, Sam Brown, he's a retired Army captain. He's running to take on Jackie Rosen in Nevada. And he announced candidacy this past July. Former State Assemblyman Jim Merchant is in the running for the GOP Senate nod after losing last year's Secretary of State race. So Republicans, again, are going at it to be the nominee to challenge Jackie Rosen. And the National Republicans see Merchant's lackluster fundraising. And he's a Trumper, so that don't play well in Nevada. He's backed by the Koch brothers, an outside group. I think Jackie Rosen, because people are expecting her to lose in the last election, which was in 2022, and she won handily. Not by double digits, but she won, So no matter who the Republicans, try to run against her, I think she'll hold on to win that seat in Nevada. I mean, she's not really popular, but,
Nevada. Yeah, and that Jim Merchant, he also lost the general election for the U.S. House in 2020. So, let's Jackie Rosen. That sounds good to me.
Yes. All right, go ahead with the next one, Lori.
Okay, Wisconsin. We have the incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Republicans still don't have a top recruit to take on Senator Tammy Baldwin after Rep. Mike Gallagher passed. They are watching two businessmen, though, who could have the ability to self-fund. Eric Holste, who lost the Republican Senate nomination in 2012, and Scott Mayer, who's never run for office before. Meanwhile, Rep. Tom Tiffany's $114,000 second quarter haul doesn't suggest he's getting ready to run statewide. Controversial former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark has said any decision isn't coming soon. He was the best known potential GOP candidate in a Marquette University Law School poll, but he didn't likely pose problems for the GOP as nominee for a state Biden nearly carried. For now, Baldwin has the race largely to herself. She raised $3.3 million in the second quarter, although any cash advantage could disappear if she ends up facing a self-funder. So among registered voters, 40% viewed her favorably in that Marquette poll, while 37% viewed her unfavorably, and 22% hadn't heard enough to have an opinion, which suggests she has room to reintroduce herself to voters as she runs for a third term. What do you think about that, David?
Yeah, she's the first openly LGBTQ U.S. senator in history. She bring a lot of luck to the table. Before, she was a congresswoman from Wisconsin. She has vast experience and knowledge in terms of how Congress run, and she's a people person. She's well-liked and respected. But, you know, I start to have, you know, reservations about polls, because the polls in 2016 showed that Hillary would win, but it didn't win. No, this poll saying that Tammy Baldwin have, you know, favorable ratings, just a little bit over unfavorable ratings for a second-term senator. You know, you can't really trust polls. You can't go by polls and everything. But I think Tammy Baldwin can and will win this re-election race. But like the article said, that if she is running against a person who is funding their own campaign, it would be an uphill battle. We'll see how that goes. And that's what we need. We need reform in terms of, you know, sponsoring campaigns, where the money coming from, super PACs and permits need to stop.
I agree.
Pennsylvania, incumbent. Pennsylvania, go ahead. Okay, Pennsylvania incumbent Democrat, Bob Casey, he's another Blue Dog Democrat. He is running for re-election. And he ran, Senator Doug Mastriano, he ran and failed in 2022 in a gubernatorial race. And so he's running for U.S. Senate and hopes to take on Bob Casey. So, you know, Casey versus this guy, Doug Mastriano. As you all know, Doug Mastriano is like a MAGA, ultra-MAGA Republican. You know, you know, Bob Casey's father was a popular two-term governor. The Casey family is well-known in Pennsylvania. He's a Blue Dog Democrat, so he appeals to GOP voters as well. You know, so I don't think McCormick or Mastriano, the Republicans running for the Republican nomination to challenge Casey, will win. You know, so what do you think about this race in Pennsylvania?
I agree with you. I do. I think that, you know, like you said, he's popular in the state. If he's doing a good job, you know, he should be able to be reelected. We shall see.
Yeah.
Let's go into.
And Bob Casey raised $4 million in the second quarter. And last election, he was up in 2018. He won by 13 points. But because Mastriano and other Republican, who's a multimillionaire, may self-fund his campaign if nominated, it'll be a next uphill battle. But I think Bob Casey, because of name recognition within the state, the Casey family is well-known and well-liked.
And, you know,
I think he can pull it off.
You know, the other thing that really gets me is that, like, you know, you said, a self-funded millionaire could just all of a sudden decide, you know, oh, I want to run for Senate, or I want to run for mayor, or, you know, whatever the office is that they have their sights on. And then there's, and he or she may not even be qualified, you know, for that office, but because they have the money to fund their campaign, and to be able to hire, you know, consultants, et cetera, to help set up their campaign, to make them sound, you know, like they know what they're talking about, they know all about, you know, the state and the office and all of that. And yet you may have a really qualified candidate that just doesn't have that amount of money to put into a campaign and can't win it no matter what, because they can't get the exposure. And, you know, that's what has to stop. And I've seen that happen over and over again, even in, you know, the little races here in Michigan that I backed, and we've had them on our radio show. Same thing. They can't win because they don't have the name recognition and the money behind them. And that's not
Isn't
fair.
Isn't that sad, though, that our government – who's in there and who stays there and who influences is all mm-hmm. about the money. It isn't about yeah. the people at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm. yep.
everything from the Supreme Court down, it's all
yep.
about who's mm-hmm. got the most money, who's got the most influence. It's not, are you qualified? What are you going to do for us?
Yeah. Right.
It's
exactly.
sad. It's
okay,
sad.
We have under 5 minutes to go. We have under 5 minutes
okay.
to go. So Michigan,
I'll let you guys go.
Let you
round
okay.
it up.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you,
okay.
Thank
you, Susie.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, Susie from Michigan. Okay, so Michigan, mm-hmm. incumbent Democrat Debbie Stabenow, she's retiring. So Elise Slotkin
yep.
is running to, you know, replace her. Slotkin has raised $2.8 million in the second quarter. Congressman, former Congressman Mike Rogers, is expected to announce his candidacy. You know, Congressman Peter Mejia is still out there. He lost his primary over a year ago
mm-hmm.
for his vote to impeach Trump. Slotkin has a clear head start. But Harper Hill, or Hill Harper, the actor, is challenging
yep.
for the Democratic
mm-hmm.
nomination. Do you think
mm-hmm.
that Hill Harper, because of name recognition, TV exposure,
yes.
do you think he can beat Slotkin for the Democratic nomination?
I personally say no, because he doesn't
mm-hmm.
have any experience. He has, you know, his
mm-hmm.
name. And, you know, he just recently moved to Michigan. I think he's only been in Michigan a couple of years. And like you said, he's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his heart might be in the right place, but he does not have the experience. And that's what we have to
mm-hmm.
go back to and pay attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. yeah. Number 9, Texas incumbent Republican Ted Cruz is up for re-election. He's raised $6.2 million and transferred more than $2 million from his house camp. No, I'm reading the wrong thing. Colin Allred, I'm sorry, is challenging Ted Cruz
mm-hmm.
for the U.S. Senate. State Senator Roland
yep.
Gutierrez, who represents Uvalde, announced his campaign in July to challenge Ted Cruz as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another tough race.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ted Cruz can be beaten?
Oh, I am hoping and praying he can be. He can be beaten. The
mm-hmm.
problem is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the other candidate, does he have the money to fight Ted Cruz and the name recognition?
Mm-hmm.
I sure hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I sure hope so.
Because
mm-hmm. Ted
last
Cruz
and not
got
least.
So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, last but not least, we'll have like just over a minute to go.
Right.
Rick Scott, the former governor turned
yep.
U.S. senator.
So.
Do you think Rick Scott can be beaten?
I sure hope so. I dislike
mm-hmm.
him. So, yes, I think he can be beaten. He's evil. I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The right person.
Yeah, it's all
evil.
Good and well that he's evil, but do you think any Democrat could beat him?
If they get the right if they get the right Democrat, yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think Florida's set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you so much for everybody for listening. We're
yeah.
out of time. Check out www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise online for sale. We'll also have good blog articles, more coming. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same place, for another episode of Kitchen Politics 123. So until tomorrow, we'll talk to you then. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David, and this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.
We just got caught up. I'm going to go to the next one.
Yeah.